As Pastor Lori mentioned at the beginning of the service, today is known as Christ the King Sunday. It may be a lesser known feast day for you in the Christian calendar, but churches across the world do celebrate it. And as she mentioned, the intent of Christ the King Sunday is meant to be a time where we close up one year and get ready for the start of a new year, which begins with Advent. Traditionally, when we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, it is, of course, to remember Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the lectionary cycle rotates through a series of different passages, often ones from a gospel reading where Jesus talks about the Son of Man coming. And we remember in our Christian year, especially on Christ the King Sunday, that we live in a strange time where we live in what people sometimes refer to as the already and not yet, where the coming of Jesus in his life 2,000 years ago ushered in a new presence of God's Spirit and kingdom here on earth, but we know that it is not fully on earth as it is in heaven. We live in this in-between time where we see glimpses, we experience moments of it, but it's not the fullness of what God has in store for us. And Christ the King Sunday comes intentionally to remind us that there will be a time where God's kingdom is fully present for all of us. And that in the midst of the things that we struggle with, in the midst of the injustices we see, in the midst of the violence and the tragedies that befall us, they will come to an end. And God will win. And I want us to keep that in mind, that sense of hope and strength of God that is meant to come before us in Christ the King Sunday. Because it reminds us that when we get ready for Christmas, we always come waiting for our King to come more fully on earth as he is in heaven. And every Advent, we come waiting and wondering on how God will make things right. In our passage for this morning, we have one of the more famous of the Christ the King passages where Jesus is telling a parable that is meant to describe himself. Often he uses the term the Son of Man, the human one, where we are seeing he is coming in his glory. And as the kingdom is inaugurated and in its fullness, there is a sense of a king judging those who are welcomed in. And we have probably the most familiar part of this whole parable in these two lines where Jesus says, "I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then comes my favorite part where they said, "Excuse me, what? We did what?" You get this beautiful image of people who are going around just living their ordinary lives and are surprised to find out that in their ordinary, everyday going about lives, they have been helping God. They have been showing acts of compassion to God. And they're surprised in a wonderful way. And they say, "When did this happen? How could we have missed out on such a momentous experience of helping you?" And we have Jesus saying, "I assure you that whenever you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me." So here we have it on Christ the King Sunday. We have these words of Jesus, remembering that as he comes into his power and glory and welcomes us, the things that make God proud are acts of mercy and kindness. And that often it's because we weren't even meaning to do it. It was just the way we went about our daily life that brought a sense of God's presence into the world here and now. And we are encouraged by Jesus to pay attention, to recognize that wherever we go and whatever we do, we can see the face of Christ here and now. And that while we wait for the fullness of God's kingdom, we can be gifted with the experience of seeing Christ through ordinary ways of providing help. And Jesus encourages us while we wait and while we hope to engage in these acts of service and compassion. And they are a cornerstone of our Christian practices, acts of mercy as well as our acts of piety. Now, if you're someone that might be like me, a good old United Methodist that sometimes can get so obsessed with doing all the good you can and all the ways you run yourself a little ragged, I want to give you this word of encouragement. Don't beat yourself up too much if you didn't get everything on the list that Jesus said. Jesus didn't say you have to do every single thing on this list. But Jesus is always encouraging us to engage in these acts as a way to experience the fullness of God and a way to experience the presence of God here on earth as it is in heaven. And as we get ready for Advent, this is our time to think and prayerfully reflect on how God is calling us to live that out in our own lives and in our own ways. Each of us has been gifted with different opportunities to express the love of God. And for you, there is going to be a unique calling. And I encourage you especially to pray through these two verses. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Because I suspect that there is one of those pieces where God is putting on your heart a call to action, an opportunity for you to serve and to be blessed in this Advent season and in the coming year for a way that you can experience God more fully and share the love of God where you are. And it is important for each of us individually to make those commitments as to how we are going to be actively a part of God's movement. And in addition to our individual commitments and practices, we as the church are also called to be a part of that movement. And we know that there are many ways that we are doing that as Crosswinds United Methodist Church. Ongoing ministries that we have that allow us to experience and express this grace. But this year, in particular, I want to lift up an opportunity for you before you to consider. Maybe a call to action, maybe an opportunity to think about your faith in a new way. And it's this. In a few months, we are going to be a very intentional partner with an organization called Feed My Starving Children. Many of you are accustomed to helping at Feed My Starving Children, and for those of you who have been active in this congregation, you know that you have been a partner with this organization for many years. We've had the opportunity for many of us to go to one of the packing sites and to help prepare food that is then shipped around the world to care for those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty. But this year, this particular congregation has the opportunity to host Feed My Starving Children here in this facility as a mobile pack. And our goal is to pack 100,000 meals in 2 days. Oh, I like that. I'm glad you didn't run out of the room. to do this. It takes all of us. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this mobile pack in just a moment. But for those of you who are new to this organization of Feed My Starving Children, or for those of you who might wonder why we would go through all of the hassle of lugging enough supplies to make 100,000 meals here in this building, I've brought a video from Feed My Starving Children, a testimony, an example about how this food cares for God's children. So let's take a look at the video that's here. It doesn't mean that's where our food is going, but it is an example of one of the many countries around the world that is blessed by the work of Feed My Starving Children and would be an example of the recipient of the work that we are going to undertake. Let's take a look.
My son's name is Lee Alden Marcadejas. He just weighed 2.5 kilos when he was 1.5 months. They provided us manapak rice. After six months, his weight improves. I don't know how to express my gratitude. It is really a big help for us.
Marinduque is an island in the Philippines of over 230,000 people.
The primary number for us to consider Marinduque was the number of malnourished children that were on the island. 13,650, I believe, kids that needed food and assistance. So the PBFA concept is basically just using our food as a stable platform. So it's a focused approach going from relief to rehabilitation to development.
Feeding is just one part of it. Look, Anna, if you will ignore teaching or educating the parents, it will slide back to malnutrition again.
When I've noticed that my child grows really well, she's not sickly, I am very proud of my son, really. I don't know how to express my gratitude. It is really a big help for us.
One of the most important things about the Marino Project, people are now starting to believe in a dream. And then now, with the education and livelihood, we are providing them means towards a dream.
Before the Maranello Project, we didn't have savings, but now we learn to save money weekly. And it is really a great help.
To all our beloved volunteers and those who work in Feed My Starving Children, whatever you have packed, whatever you have sent to us, has changed so many lives in this small island called Marinduque. So the first thing is I would really have to say thank you. Thank you. Remember this, you are not just feeding the hungry. I hope you realize you are feeding Jesus.
I wish them more strength so that they can help more people like us who needs who are in need. Yes, that's all.
I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. This year we have the opportunity as a congregation to fulfill and to care for 100,000 meals. And you know, as we prepare and as we wait to do this magnificent undertaking as a congregation, we are going to be spending a few months to get ready. The actual event will be on April 19th and 20th. Yes, in 2 days, 100,000 meals. And it is going to require somewhere between 400 to 500 volunteers here at the church. So let's take a look around. Guess what? You're going to have to invite a few friends. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. And as we get ready for this mobile pack, not only are we going to need to ask a few friends for a little help, But we're also going to have to ask for some help funding the meals. Did you know that Feed My Starving Children, for $106, they're able to feed a child for a year? I don't think I can even, I think I spend that much like a week on my teenage son. Right? I mean, I say that flippantly, but that if I were to really look at the dollar amounts, I mean, extraordinary. Extraordinary. $106. And so as a congregation, we have the audacious goal of raising $30,000 to pay for over 100,000 meals that will require about 500 volunteers to pack here in 2 days. You might be thinking about this, and there might be something stirring in your heart where you're like, oh, we can do double that. Or you might be on the other extreme and go, Pastor Stina, who said that was a good idea? It is a good idea. And, you know, as we get ready for this event, there are many things that make my heart sing about making a commitment to this mobile pack. The first is, in all earnestness, these words of Jesus, reminding us that at the core of what we do as the church, we are called to feed those who are hungry and to help those who are thirsty, to welcome those who are strangers, and to help take care of those in need. This is the core of our life of discipleship. And it also makes me happy that we are beginning to talk about this mobile pack here at the beginning of the Advent season as we think about our King and as we get ready to usher in the birth of the child, to remember that God is always showing up and God is here to be cared for as well as to care for us, and that whenever we extend grace and love, we are able to connect with the beauty of our Creator. It sure would be a lot easier for us to just go down the road and do a few packing shifts at Feed My Starving Children. And if you want to go every week, guess what? Pastor Lori goes every single week pretty much. Not to put you on the spot, but since you saw her up front earlier, if you ever want a buddy to be able to go with to Feed My Starving Children, she can sure tell you all about it. But there is something very sacred and holy about welcoming Feed My Starving Children into our facility as well. And if you don't mind, I'm gonna tell you why it matters to me personally. I know that this isn't what it matters to for the entire congregation. But the first is, I think there's a big difference when you make a real commitment to someone in an organization and you promise to support them with your time and your talents, and that you say to them, I'm not just going to show up when it's convenient to do what I can, but I'm going to take on this tough commitment for you, this 100,000 meals, and I'm going to find a way to help not only provide the volunteers to pack it, but also provide the funding to support it. That is a deep, powerful commitment we are making. And you know, when I was meeting with the mobile pack folks earlier this summer to talk about whether or not it was feasible, they were deeply touched that someone so close to one of their packing sites would want to do this, because it is becoming less and less common for churches, for various reasons, to be able to do this kind of work. And they're feeling more and more alone in what they're doing. And it means a great deal to them that we would come alongside to support and to encourage. I also think about the power of turning this physical space into a place that is about to prepare and bless 100,000 meals. When we began our work on the Capital campaign, we said that all the work we were going to be doing was meant for more than nice donuts, right? This happened again and again. This kitchen better be more than just nice donuts. And I think that strikes at the heart of the calling of this congregation, that this facility exists for more than nice donuts. We have been blessed with a facility and a congregation that desires to bless the world. And it is time to let this facility do the heavy lifting of this miraculous work. It definitely will cause a few rips and bumps and scrapes. And there are going to be some things that get broken. But think about the blessings that every single meal will have as an impact around the world. I also think about, as we make a commitment to these 100,000 meals, Miss Amber is off with the children getting ready. They're doing their worship. But one of the things that we also are getting ready for in this preparation of this mobile pack is, in addition to preparing all of these meals and to finding all the money and finding all the volunteers to do this, we are going to be making the commitment, and this is above and beyond, but we are going to be making the commitment and the challenge to pray a minute for every meal that we pack. I got a little bit of, oh, I like that. Oh, good. I have some of you now to sign up for my 100,000 prayer challenge. Because we know, as the video said, that this is more than providing one hot meal. This is about providing hope and giving people an opportunity for a better future. And one of the most amazing things about the ongoing work with Feed My Starving Children is how they continue to pivot and intentionally work with their partners to create that sustainable development so that their society and their communities can be transformed and not rely on them forever for the food that they provide. And so, on this Christ the King Sunday, as we think about our great King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and as we remember his admonition to feed those who are hungry and to provide care for those in need, I charge you not to only think about how you will live that out in your individual life, but also to join the movement of this congregation as we prepare to do something big, bold, and audacious, to provide meals for 100,000 people in just 2 days. I believe this is just the start. I believe we ain't seen nothing yet.